that man talking in my ear. He's Ron Burgundy.
My dearest listeners, how is everyone this week? Feeling okay? If you're listening at home, are you cozy under a blanket? You might be in your family's minivan airing out the cigar smoke because your parents get back into town. How's that going? And here at the studio, Carolina, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah. Nick, in the booth, you okay?
Good, thanks, Ron.
Oh, good. Family's good?
Everybody's good, thanks.
Great. And the temperature is good in here? Sorry for all the questions. I'm not trying to be a nosy Carolina.
It's nosy Nellie, not nosy Carolina. That's not a phrase.
Oh. Well, I just read a great book, Carolina. You should check it out. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It just came out.
Oh, no. That book came out like a little over 80 years ago.
And it's growing in popularity. I wanted to give it a shout out on the podcast so more people could hear about it.
Oh, it's actually one of the most popular books of all time, I think.
In it, my new friend Dale lists 6 ways to make people like you. And it's not what you think. You don't have to bring a brick of cocaine for the next game night. In fact, the first thing Dale says is you have to become genuinely interested in other people. Hence my questions today.
Okay. Is that why you asked me if my nose was real when I walked in today?
I'm just saying people been talking.
Okay.
And we just know it used to be bigger. Or maybe it's the same size.
Yeah, I didn't do anything, so.
Yeah. Well, it's still pretty outstanding.
Okay.
You have an outstanding nose.
I don't know how you mean that.
Anyway, the second thing Dale tells us to do is smile. Smile, 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 smile.
Okay, please close your
mouth. See?
No.
I'm smiling.
It's too much. Just close your mouth. Talk normally.
It makes people love you.
I'm going to pay you $10 to look normal.
And I'll pay you $50 to do the same. Okay, thirdly, you have to say a person's name a lot. To them, it is the sweetest and most important sound in any language. That's certainly true. I actually fall asleep to a tape of people saying my name. Different recordings of people. At award shows, airport loudspeakers, lawyers at my deposition hearings, just to get me relaxed.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Well, maybe, you know what, you can use some of these skills to talk to the CEO of FAIR today.
Who?
The CEO of FAIR, a representative of FAIR. We're having them in for a few questions.
Oh, okay, what's his name?
He's walking in right now.
Oh, okay,
now.
Quickly, what's his name? Come on, Carolina, he's the money man.
He's in the room. His name is Scott Painter. He's in the room.
Scotty, please welcome to the studio, Scott Painter. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm great.
Very nice. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes, thank you. What a beautiful name. Scott Painter, glorious to the lips. Scott. Scotty.
Okay.
Scott.
Okay, take it easy.
Scott.
All right.
Yes.
You got it.
Scott Painter. Never forget that name.
We want you to stop and keep going.
What's the origin of Painter? Is that Dutch?
I think it's German and Scottish.
Oh, well, we learn something new every day. And thank you for that information, Scott Painter, CEO, founder of FAIR.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does FAIR Auto do?
Well, we are a way to get a car entirely on your phone.
Right. Oh, that's right, because we've been talking about it. Those are the advertisements. Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, you get the phone and you...
You get a car.
You get a car.
Well, it really comes from just wanting to make the whole process of getting a car a lot easier. Most people don't even want to go into a dealership anymore.
Not anymore. No.
The idea of doing everything on your phone, just like everything else in modern life, was really where the whole thing started.
A lot of dealerships, frankly... They smell, you know?
Is that a thing?
No, I'm just saying they stink.
Really?
That's what I've come to, I mean.
I think they smell like new car, which for people is usually a really
nice
smell.
Oh, I hate that smell. Oh. Ooh.
Do you like the inverse? Do you
like
old
car? In fact, just the thought of it makes me want to vomit.
That seems dramatic. Why don't you just take a sip of water?
And Scott Painter, He's here with us if you're just tuning in. A lot of people just tune into a podcast. Did you know that? Just for my records, when does my car come, Scott?
Well, you've just got to get on your phone and pick one out.
No, no, no. I mean my free car, the one I was promised.
Who promised you that?
Oh, okay. So it's a surprise. Oh, that's sweet.
No.
Okay. When I get my free car, what should I do?
Run. I don't think that's happening.
Okay. It's a surprise. Scott, the question is, why do you like working at Fair? I mean, you created it, so it's your baby.
Well,
But where's the satisfaction?
I think great companies and great entrepreneurs solve a problem. And right. I think buying and owning a car is complicated, time-consuming, frustrating. And most modern customers just have said they don't want to do it anymore. I mean, we're all thinking
the hassle.
About, yeah. The confrontation, the commitment,
exactly.
All of it. So what we created was really a solution for that that doesn't require any negotiation, any confrontation or commitment. You can take the car for as long as you want. And then when you're done with it, you just simply let us know and we pick it up.
What's the shortest amount of time someone has leased a car for? If you had anyone to just for like 5 minutes?
It turns out when humans get a car that they like, they sort of move into it. And even though we don't have a term to our contract,
right.
The average customer is keeping the car for almost 2 years.
Wow.
Ron usually can't afford cars at dealerships, but he loves negotiating.
I don't know why we need to bring that up.
You've stayed at that dealership.
I love to haggle. I love the back and forth.
He wastes salesman's time for hours and then says, just kidding, and leaves.
I like to go in. Let's say a car is being sold for $35,000. I like to go in. I like to look them in the eye. And they get excited because it's Ron Burgundy, of course. And I'll go, I've got $2,000 cash. And I'll slide it across the desk real slow in a manila envelope. And they usually kick me out.
Yeah.
But
they know you now.
But there's a thrill to that, just for me. But you're saying most people, it's intimidating to them.
For most people, the average car costs about a third of their net worth. So the car requires financing as well. And the idea of going in and, you know, sort of negotiating with a dealer is certainly something that modern consumers don't like a lot.
A third of their net worth.
We'd love to have a net worth in general.
So as a result, most people end up taking a car based on what they can afford on a monthly basis. All the cars that we've got in the app are presented on an all-in month-to-month basis.
Okay.
So the car comes with a warranty, roadside assistance, and standard maintenance. So you don't have to worry about any of that. And we now also even offer auto insurance. So it's truly a single cost of ownership, except for fuel.
Let me ask this question. What if someone has a negative reaction to their car and destroys it?
Well, first of all,
have you come across that?
You mean they just beat up the car?
Exactly. They take out a tire iron and they just smash the windshield and is like, oh, they tricked me. I never wanted this car.
I don't think that would be good for anybody. That's not good for us and probably not
but
good for them
him,
either.
Right? You'll catch them.
Ultimately, we will get that car back.
I knew it. They're going to get you. So don't do that.
Any Herbie fully loaded situations?
Herbie fully loaded.
Yeah. Where the car comes to life.
Oh, right. Was that a Disney movie, Herbie?
Yeah, and then it was a Lindsay Lohan remake.
I want to get back to my car that I'm getting.
Okay.
My gift car. What color is it? Can you guys just tell me?
So.
Is it going to have a ribbon on it?
I don't know if this is a conversation for now.
And when I drive it, can I keep the ribbon on it to show off that I got a free car?
I want you to be prepared for there to be no car.
In what scenario?
In the scenario of reality. I want you to be prepared for a car not to show up today.
Okay. I'm going to put air quotes around that. Scott, do you miss... One of the great things about car dealerships are the inflatable floppy man? You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
That gets your attention? Listeners, you probably will picture... How would you describe the inflatable floppy man, Carolina?
A body of skin without a spine or bones in it.
Yes, and you'll see
it.
Flying in the wind. Yeah. And that's something, or you'll see like an inflatable gorilla or something like that, you know, at dealer. Do you get feedback that people are missing seeing those things?
They're still out there, believe it or not. The way that our business works is we rely on dealers as partners, but we buy the car from them and simultaneously let our users use the vehicles.
Right.
So they don't have to go through any of the complication or the confrontation with the dealer. We handle all of that.
I want to get one of those inflatable gorillas just to put
out for the house
in front of my condo.
That I think we can do, though. We can arrange for that because they're not in demand nearly as much anymore.
Okay, so if I'm not going to get a free car from you guys,
which looks like it's not going to happen.
Gorilla. A free gorilla would be,
yeah.
I mean, to have that generator blowing throughout the night.
It's definitely a conversation with the neighbors.
But I think that's a nice trade-off to have a fun inflatable gorilla for the whole neighborhood to enjoy.
Yeah, it will be a conversation.
So, Scott, what else would you like our listeners to know about Fair Auto?
You know, I think that the idea of going into debt to buy a car, which is what we all have to do, a car is, for the most part, 99% of cars are a depreciating asset.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You drive it off the lot, it plummets.
Mm-hmm. It does. And almost all the risk in the car business has been shifted to consumers over the last 100 years. We make them go get a car loan and go into debt to cover all that risk. And I think the idea of becoming obligated to a car is really going to be obsolete. I think the idea of being able to get access to mobility on a month-to-month basis, just like everything else in modern life. I have a 16-year-old son. He went through the whole process, and he was just like, Dad, before Fair, how did kids get cars?
Mm. Yeah.
And it makes a ton of sense. I mean, he doesn't have a job. He didn't have a bank account. He just got his driver's license. He goes through all these things, and now all of a sudden he can get access to a car with any kind of credit history, and he pays month to month. It's a great way for him to get a vehicle until he gets ready to go to college.
Can you use PayPal?
You can use any form of payment that's digital.
Venmo?
Venmo, PayPal, Apple Pay, all of it.
Poker chips?
Anything that we can do to get...
So poker chips from a casino...
I think ultimately we got to look into every possible way of getting paid.
Ron has a velvet bag.
I have a velvet bag. I have a prediction that's going to be the currency of the future, is poker chips from Las Vegas casinos.
You had an amazing night in Vegas.
I did.
And you just forgot to cash your chips.
I was on such a roll, Scott. Oh my gosh. I was at the craps table for 11 hours.
You wore a diaper.
I wore a diaper. And oddly enough, this is the first time we've met, but I kept screaming at the top of my lungs, Scott Painter, as I threw the dice.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but I believe you.
Okay, I made that up. I was just trying to impress you. But yeah, I made about $50,000 and I keep it in my mattress.
Yeah, and you said, no, I have to go. I have to take off my diaper as soon as possible.
Right.
And I said, maybe you want to cash out your chips.
No, I should go.
Yeah.
Well, but... with a company like Fair, you get to keep the $50,000.
Yes.
And then just get the car on an as-needed basis.
So the auto industry, are they mad at you for what you've created?
We're actually a sale to a car dealer or to the manufacturer. So they're actually quite happy. They don't have to pay for advertising, which is usually the largest expense in selling a car. So when we buy a car from a dealer, it's a sale for them without any advertising expense.
I remember when I was living down in San Diego, I used to record jingles for Phil Everton Ford. Mm-hmm. And that was part of their big advertising budget. Phil Everton Ford, it's a great day to buy a Ford. Phil Everton.
And this was a career?
No, I just, what do you mean?
The jingles?
No, it was augmented my salary as a broadcaster.
Got it.
Yeah. Come on down to Phil Everton. He won't cheat you. He's honest, Phil.
I love it.
Phil Everton. He's honest, even though he only has one leg. He only had one leg.
Okay, and he wanted that in the jingle?
Well, I improvised that one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I made sure they couldn't erase the tapes. And then I said, if you don't use this one, I'll sue you.
That seems.
But that's what, I had a lot of juice back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, we can't thank you enough for coming in. Talking to us.
Enlightening us.
Enlightening us. It sounds like an amazing service. Very easy. Let me ask you this final question. What if I were to purchase, or I guess it's technically a lease.
It's technically a lease or a rental, depending on the state that you live in. But you know, both are the same thing. You're not buying the car. You're paying for the depreciation on a monthly right. basis.
So if I get my new car, I'm so excited, and then I open the trunk and I find a couple kilos of cocaine. Mm. What happens then? Do I get to? Is that
a problem?
Is that a problem?
That's been happening.
It's not been a problem yet.
Okay.
Until they met Ron.
Well, we should think about all the possibilities out there that could happen. Well, Scott Painter, thank you so much, CEO and founder of Fair Auto, with a beautiful name, Scott Painter. Scott, thank you for coming in and visiting us here in person.
Ron, thanks for having me. And yes. I think we could probably work something out on that car if you really go into the
wow.
app and pick something.
Okay.
Make a big deal out of that. I think that could work out.
Interesting. Well, oh, so Carolina, you're wrong. I am getting a free car.
Maybe for a month or two.
You know what?
Something like that.
If it's for 1 hour, if I can rub it into Carolina's face that I got a free car, I would dance a jig. Scott, thanks again. Thanks for coming in, and we'll be right back after this. And welcome back to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Okay, raise your hands if you like sports. Okay?
This is...
I see some hands. Now clap your hands if you like trophies. Any trophy lovers in the house?
There's two people in here, so.
When was the last time you won a trophy, Carolina?
I don't want to say.
Oh, come on. Just tell. You know we're family here.
I won second place at the Sarah Lawrence Slam Poetry Contest.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Forget I asked.
All right.
Well, we have such a treat. The Stanley Cup is the oldest trophy in sports history, still being competed for by professional athletes. And I am literally looking at it right now in all of its glory.
It's amazing.
It's on the table right next to me. And of course, we have with us today Mike Bolt. Mike is the keeper of the cup. He is the man in charge. And today we get an inside scoop on how he manages to guard that cup, the Stanley Cup. Mike, thank you for joining us here on the podcast.
Ron, thanks for having us.
The Stanley Cup. Wow. Well, I mean, every day you wake up,
you turn
and look at that thing, right? Because you have to be around it 24 hours?
Yeah, I sleep with one eye open all night.
You're very vigilant.
I have to guard it every day.
Which leads me to my first question. Do you think you're trustworthy? Trustworthy enough to guard this?
I don't, but I guess the NHL and the Hall of Fame do.
That's what matters.
You are being trusted with this outstanding trophy. I mean, does that ever... make you kind of, you know, lose your mind slightly?
Actually, it does sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when we're traveling and flying around. Just the other day, we couldn't find it in Denver, and it was a little stressful.
Wait, what?
Oh, Denver.
Yeah, we were in Denver doing some press and bouncing around promoting the playoffs, and I get to Denver and waiting for the bag to come out, and
it's not there.
Not there, and I'm like, okay. So I go and start dealing with the airlines, and they can't tell me where it is, and so luckily, I have a contact with Air Canada, and I picked up the phone, and they could tell me where it was. And apparently, it was in Denver, but it was stuck on on the conveyor belt.
Did you ask the officials there at the Denver airport to shut the airport down?
I did, actually, but they didn't.
They didn't listen. Okay.
Fair enough.
Because that's what I would have run out onto the tarmac and tried to stop planes from landing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny when we're in the airports, though, I do open it up, and it's always amazing to see the reaction. Just actually when I was flying up to come up here last night, I was checking in, and it was really quiet, and I took it out for two employees to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Within literally 20 seconds, there was about 50 people around us.
Oh,
they just got
it. Oh,
they just got, you know, just, it's such
once
a magnet.
Once in a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, it's such a, it's a magnet. I mean, it just attracts people. And I've been doing this for 20 years. I kind of know better, but I was laughing. I'm like, oops, that's my mistake.
I mean, when you brought this beautiful trophy into our recording studio here, I squealed like a 14-year-old girl.
It was weird.
It was like,
I thought you had stepped on something.
You thought I'd seen a ghost.
Yeah.
Because that's how I react if I ever see a ghost. I see a lot of ghosts.
He has a haunted garage.
Yes. And
I'd like to see that one time.
That's what usually... have you heard of an ice jackal before, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, let's just leave it at that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard that this trophy is so revered... revered by NHL players that many who have not won it, they refuse to be in its presence. Is that accurate?
Pretty true. I mean, there are players that come around it, but won't touch it. Quick story. Scott Niedermayer had won 3 Stanley Cups.
He loves the podcast. Go ahead.
Oh, excellent. And yes. His brother Rob, when they won together in 07, we were up at their summer house up in Cranbrook, British Columbia. And Rob kept telling people.
I love it up there, by the way.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Is that cottage country? Is that the same as cottage country?
That's God's country, right?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Have you ever been to Yellowknife?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
I got a timeshare, though.
Oh, in Yellow. Oh, great. Carolina, you would love Yellowknife.
Sure.
And it's flat and cold and nothing. Flat.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a cool place.
That's my body type.
Flat and cold, nothing.
Yeah.
But Rob was telling everybody that he'd never touched the cup, and when his brother brought it back, and I said, "Well, that's not true, Rob. You kept kind of rubbing up against it, maybe not on purpose, and you know, so the superstition of touching it, you know, didn't really affect you because you obviously won it in 07. But
right,
there are players that definitely will not touch it until they win it, and guys that have retired still feel weird about being around it.
Wow.
Meaning the players who are retired who didn't win.
Wendell Clark played for Toronto, a great player. When he first retired, he didn't even want to do a pitcher with it. He says he'll do pitchers, but he will still not touch it because I never won it. I will never touch the Stanley Cup.
For the female listeners out here, I feel like we should follow any hockey player's name with single or in a relationship.
Okay, because you find them dreamy, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Who is the dreamiest guy in the NHL?
Carolina frequently goes to Kings games, mm-hmm. and she loves blowing kisses at the players on the ice.
Yeah.
There's a rugged handsomeness to hockey players.
They look like they could build you a house and get into an unprovoked fight for you.
Now, I notice you have white gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
You have to handle the cup with white gloves.
Yes. It's part of the prestige, the respect for it.
The protocol.
Yeah. I didn't win it. I just look after it. And you know, you want to make sure that people, when you're carrying it outside of the buildings and, you know, in the public, people know that you're the keeper, not the guy that won it.
And the white gloves, you mentioned protocol, but I also read somewhere in my research that it's because once someone was eating peanut butter out of a jar, and they were like, "Oh, dude, look, it's the Stanley Cup," and they grabbed it and they got peanut butter all over it. Yeah. I've never heard
that story, but it does get a lot of stuff all over it. I mean, ice cream sundaes are eaten out of it.
Oh, so there's been some close calls.
Oh, yeah. A lot of ice cream in the summer, a lot of cereal out of it, and a lot of adult beverages from margaritas, beer, champagne. Wine spritzers have been made in it.
I'm thinking right now.
A lot of scotch.
Chips and guacamole.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Fill that rim full of guacamole.
Yep. Lobster bisque has been in there.
Oh, lobster. Oh, wow. Okay.
Poutine, which is French fries, gravy, curd cheese.
Oh, sure. Love it.
Sushi.
Spaghetti.
A couple of babies have been baptized in it.
Oh, that's adorable.
I love that.
We had a penguin in there once. A little baby penguin.
Oh, my God.
Did someone steal a baby penguin?
We went to
from the zoo?
Yeah, we did. The Pittsburgh Zoo, actually.
You guys stole it?
They brought it over to us. Okay. We didn't steal it.
No, but they got back with his mommy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, that's what they told you. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Any connection?
No.
Good question. Okay.
That is a good question, actually.
But you do like Harry Potter, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say you don't.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling, I mean, she had a dollar to her name, and she created a whole world.
So true.
I mean, if you say anything about J.K.,
yeah,
you're going to hear about it.
I know.
Goblet of Fire.
Just a great one.
Have you ever gone to the supermarket, picked up a few things, come home, and then realized you left the Stanley Cup in an apple barrel? You can be honest, because we can edit this out.
You know
what?
We actually have taken it to the supermarket a couple of times.
Okay.
I did it once with Doug Waite in Long Island. The Waite family wanted to reenact a picture of Angelina Jolie doing, I guess there was something in the tabloids, and they wanted to reenact the shopping cart thing with the cup in it. And so we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Billy Guerin, who was assistant GM with Pittsburgh, brought it to the supermarket to pick up some beer for his party. So we had the cup in the middle of the cart and loaded all the beer around the cup, along with a couple of bags of chips.
Amazing.
And then getting the reaction when you're going shopping with the Stanley Cup was pretty cool.
But it's got to turn a few heads.
Yeah, but we didn't leave it in the apple section.
Oh.
At Billy Guerin's party, too. I forgot they were bobbing for apples out of the cup, too.
Wow.
Typical Billy Guerin, you know?
Billy Guerin has the craziest parties.
He really does.
I've never been invited, but.
They are good parties.
Why is it called Stanley? Why not Seymour or Ralphie?
It's called Stanley because of Lord Stanley. It was a gentleman who bought the trophy in 1892 for $48.67.
Was he a real lord, or did Jesus call himself Lord Stanley?
Yeah, like Lord Scott Disick.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was a real lord. He was from Preston, England. His actual family seal is on the cup. Mm. He was the Governor General of Canada back in the late 1800s, and it was his children, actually, that convinced their dad to buy the trophy for the Amateur Hockey Association. And another little trivia fact that no one really knows.
Because he hated hockey himself.
He didn't know it. But his kids grew up playing the game in Canada, coming over from England. And the kids loved the game.
Right.
And then their father kind of liked it.
And Lord Stanley was like, this game will never survive.
I declare it.
He actually never saw the trophy even presented. In 1893, he was always back. He went back. He was already back in England doing whatever he did, his lord stuff back in England.
Sure. Knighting people.
Right. Yeah. He never saw the cup presented ever. And he's the only member of the Hockey Hall of Fame that had nothing to do with hockey other than donating the trophy.
So wow. Yeah. Lord Stanley. Well, I'm sure he's smiling down on the cup right now.
We actually took it over to England in 06 and put a plaque on the building.
And no one came and visited, right?
Actually, it was pretty crazy. Oh, okay. All the press was there and stuff like that. And we had a lot of the hockey fans. And this tour bus was going by. And after Phil and I, my boss, Phil Pritchard, had done some press, we stuck back, and this tour bus went by, and someone goes, what's going on? And Phil goes, Prince William's in buying a ring or something like that. This is way before he got married, and so he started a big stir that thinking Prince William was getting engaged.
Oh, Prince. I was not invited to the royal wedding.
No, that was unfortunate.
I tried to sneak in. Mike, what is your favorite part of a hockey game? For me, I'll just say mine's the music. I love the organ music.
You're there for the music.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Wine would be a favorite part of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, in playoffs, it's overtime for sure. I love
overtime hockey. Yeah, Sudden death for those of you who don't. The adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get 5 minutes of it in the regular season, and then we have sudden death right till, I mean, a couple of nights ago, we had 2 overtime periods.
That's a lot of hockey.
It's a lot of hockey. I mean, we play normally 60 minutes. Sometimes we can play 120 minutes of hockey in one night.
Wow.
And then the guys, I don't know how they do it. They got to play the next night a lot of times.
Yeah. It's a lot of wear and tear on their bodies. I remember one time one of the guys in Chicago was telling me when they were flying back from a game, their plane looked like an emergency room with all the IVs and body ice packs / guys getting stitched on the plane. I mean, there was blood gauzes everywhere. And
one guy had his gallbladder taken out, right?
Peter Forsberg. Yeah.
It's a black market.
Yeah. And they didn't have enough surgeons, so a lot of the players operated on each other. That's what I read.
Oh, my God.
That's hockey for you.
Dark ages.
They are tough, tough hombres. So, Mike, what do you say to those dreamers out there who are listening and they want to travel the world with Stanley one day?
Come to the Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll get a job and maybe you'll be fortunate enough to be one of
the people. There's a training program. There's a apprenticeship.
It's huge. You know, this job took me all of 3 minutes to get.
Okay. Well,
it's
maybe
the best job.
We'll edit that out of the podcast. You want people to know that.
My boss called, my now boss, I was in the office. He got a minute and I was like, sure. I went into his office, sat down and said, we think you'd be good as a cupkeeper. You interested? Sure. Okay.
That was it.
Pretty much. Oh, there were a couple of little things. Yeah, that was it.
So to our listeners out there, it's pretty easy.
Pretty easy, apparently.
Yeah. Well, has the cup ever spoken to you? I'm looking at it right now.
Just when we're alone.
Yeah, I'm sure. Does it have a deep voice or more of a high-pitched nasal?
It's kind of an old man, kind of growly voice.
Yeah.
Being, it's 127 years old.
Sure. That makes sense.
127 years old.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah. Well, with modern science and technology, we'll probably get there.
I mean, as I always say, the cup looks pretty good for 127 years old and parties harder than Keith Richards. So,
Have they any of the Rolling Stones ever partied with the Stanley Cup?
No, but we have partied with a bunch of bands over the years, from Rush to
Rat.
Bon Jovi.
Wayne Newton.
Yeah, Wayne Newton. We actually did.
Oh, really?
We were with Wayne in Vegas last year. What an awesome guy. And we actually had the cup in a convertible for him, and he drove down the strip and everything like that and waving at all the people. And people would see the cup first, and then they go, oh, my God, it's Wayne Newton.
Canada's Wayne Newton.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I don't think he's from Canada.
Celine Dion. Celine, no,
oh, Celine.
Yeah, Celine's from Canada. She's seen the cup a few times.
She's a crazy
What did Celine think of the cup?
She was impressed. She's a big Montreal fan, and her husband's a big hockey fan, too, and they're friends with Pierre Lacroix, who was the former general manager of the Colorado Avalanche, so they were...
The nickname for the Canadians is the Habs.
Yeah, exactly, the Habitants.
The Habitants.
The Habitants.
Habs is short form, yeah.
That's French.
It's a French thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know really much more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That kind of grounded everything to a halt, didn't it?
Yeah. None of us speak French.
I know.
Think that was sort of that's the what,
that's on my list.
Road. Ron, for a while, told us he spoke fluent French, and it was gibberish. A little insulting. Insulting to my intelligence.
And your beat poetry, second place.
All right.
Well, Mike, I don't know what to say. I'm still staring at the glory of Lord Stanley right here. It was an honor to meet you, honor to be in the presence of the cup. Please keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks please for having us.
And I don't mean in the distant future. I mean, let us know what you're doing tonight.
Getting on a red eye. You want to come?
Where are you going?
Going to Raleigh, North Carolina. Going to a beer fest tomorrow.
Oh, beer fest. Yes. Let me see. Carolina, book me on that same flight.
We have to record tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, we can postpone it. I mean, look at the choice you're presenting me.
Uh-huh.
Stay here in this smelly studio and record a podcast versus get on a red eye to Raleigh for a beer fest.
You mean?
With the Stanley Cup.
Do your job or go to a party?
Yes.
Okay. We'll discuss.
We'll discuss later. Mike.
Thank
Mike
you
Boltz,
so much.
Keeper of the Cup. Thank you for spending a wonderful amount of time with us here. And I'm surprised you don't have armed security with you.
Mm-hmm.
I just dropped the white gloves. Is there a problem?
Yeah, okay. Very good.
We won't touch the cup just in case.
We're not going to, by the way. I'm not even going to look at it because I didn't win it.
Yeah.
I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with the Ron Burgundy podcast right after these messages. And we're back on the Ron Burgundy podcast with some final thoughts. I am a leader. Everyone has said that to me at one point or another. Once at McDonald's, I was in line for a McRib, and someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're a leader." And I said, "Thank you, sir. I know that." Then he gave me some pamphlets. Turns out he wanted me to join his cult. Long story short, I did end up joining it, and it was a very tough summer for me and my family. Anyway, wait, where was I?
You're a leader?
Yes. While reading How to Win Friends and Influence People, my new favorite book next to Harry Potter, they gave me some tips on how to be a leader, one of which was to praise every improvement.
Oh, I like that. That's actually a great managerial skill. Yeah, that's nice.
I think so, too. For instance, I love how you didn't slur your words there, Carolina.
What?
And look at your clothes. There's barely any crumbs of lunch on them. Perhaps some improvement there?
Okay, I see what's happening.
The book also says to ask questions instead of giving direct orders. So maybe you guys, what do you think of ending the episode now and maybe we get a steak for Ron? With a Guinness in a cold glass? I don't know.
These are suggestions?
Maybe after that someone pulls my new car around so I can check it out?
That's not... I can't tell you enough that you're not getting a free car today.
Okay, but I am getting a free blow-up gorilla. Scott Painter told me that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Okay. We'll get your new gorilla.
Great. And I also need the generator, you know.
Right.
Oh, and I'm going to need, let's see, I'm going to need a... couple hundred cans of gasoline to run the gas generator.
Are you serious?
So Fair Auto's going to have to chip in on that, too.
All right.
I'll need a constant supply of gasoline.
Okay. I don't even know
where
to start.
All we can do is ask.
Right.
Folks, come on by my condo anytime you want. You can take a photo with my blow-up gorilla. My house is located on 2239 Jensen Avenue.
Okay. Don't give that out.
Where the 10 and the 405 meet.
Okay. Well.
Great. Thanks. Catch you next time on the Ron Burgundy Podcast. The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Funny or Die. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producers are Jack O'Brien, Nick Stumpf, Miles Gray, and Whitney Hodak. Our executive producer is Mike Farah. Our consulting producer is Andrew Steele. Our coordinating producer is Colin McDougall. Our associate producers are Anna Hosnier and Sophie Lichterman. Our writer is Jake Fogelmist. Our production coordinator is Hannah Jacobson. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.